Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Doug Griffiths is here. Doug Griffiths is the founder and the CEO of 13 Ways Incorporated. It's a consulting firm based in Alberta, Canada. Two Canadians today. How about that? First Key to Spark in the last hour, and now Doug. He's the author of a new book called 13 Ways to Kill Your Community. I love this book because he tells the truth, my friends. I've been involved in my community for decades. I've been a chamber member for decades, and I'm looking forward to hearing what Doug has to say. Doug Griffiths, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much for having me on.
It's good to have you here. Congratulations on your book.
Thank you. Thank you. It's really exciting to have it done, the second edition, and it's getting a lot of attention, so it's pretty exciting to be able to talk about the subject.
It's an important book because what you talk about is happening in every main street town across the western half of the northern half of the Western Hemisphere, north of the border, south of the border. I've been a member of my Chamber of Commerce for many decades. And I believe, I was telling the audience before you got here something they've heard me say before, I believe that the three pillars of Main Street, any Main Street area, and in fact, as an American, what I consider to be the foundation of America, are chambers of commerce, business owners, and ranchers and farmers, and the third one is community banks, locally owned banks. I believe those are the three pillars. What do you think?
Yeah, actually, that's a very interesting observation because you've got the business owners themselves, the financial institutions that help them grow, and the network of businesses that support
yep.
each other.
Yep, yeah. Absolutely. That's the fabric of a Main Street in Canada or America. America, I would think, because I know a lot of Canadian chamber leaders up there. So, all right. So, talk to us about some other things that in your book you talk about. A number of different things to pay attention to. I love some of your titles of your chapter. If you want to kill your community, don't attract business.
Yes, that's the second.
Now that sounds like a dumb thing to say, but a lot of communities are their own worst enemy, aren't they?
Yeah, it's because of our attitudes. The foundation of the book was. When I was a teacher, I'd talk to high school students and talk to them about how to be successful. And all of them knew what they wanted to do to be successful. They all had hopes and dreams and goals and visions for their future. But every single one of them wound up doing things that took them down a different path than they anticipated, that sabotaged their own success. And ironically, it's not just high school students. We all do it. But we wind up sabotaging our own success as individuals or as communities. And so at its very root, you go to a lot of small towns, and the first question they ask me is, Doug, how do we keep young people in our community? Which I always tell them is the fundamentally the wrong thing to do anyway. The success for your community is not to keep young people there. It's to give them reason to come home after they've gone exploring.
Right.
But then I go into those small communities, and I hear everyone who says, oh, we need to engage youth and keep them in the community. In the same breath, when they're somewhere else in town, they're talking about how the town has no hope and no future, and smart young people leave. They go to the city to go do something else. And so the same people who are trying to engage youth and keep them in the community are subconsciously driving them away. They're telling them there's no hope here and they need to go.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to businesses and competition, I mean, we talk constantly about how we're good conservatives. We believe in small business and in competition and in the economy and free enterprise and the market system. But when you get into a lot of small towns, they do believe in competition as long as they're not the ones being competed against.
Right.
And so if another business comes into town and wants to start up that's going to compete against them, we try and keep them away thinking, well, there's no viability. If another one shows up, we're both going to go broke. But
you
in
know,
most cases,
that's not how it works. You know, I'll tell you one a little quick science project I observed, marketplace project I observed many years ago. I knew a guy who owned a store, a big furniture store, right next to another big furniture store. Both companies, and a third one opened up over the years later next to them. Three big furniture stores, and they all made a lot of money sitting there side by side. One of them, the guy that I knew, went across the river to another town and put a furniture store in where there was no furniture store. He was the only one over there. He didn't make it over there. He was by himself. He did better where there were other furniture stores next to him.
That happens in many communities. Furniture stores, car dealerships.
Restaurants,
a good example.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, you have auto miles because then people then know there's more selection. And that's what competition gives us, is price, quality, selection, service, atmosphere, those sorts of things. And you can never compete against everybody on everything. I mean, look at, that's why Amazon bought Whole Foods. They realized they, even with massive volume and online sales and the lowest price, they still can't compete. They bought a grocery store chain that is nothing about pricing, and it's about quality, and it's about a different kind of product for customers. I mean, even they know that you can't just beat people on price.
Well, that's exactly right. And small businesses, you know, and one of the biggest things that happens is local communities will give the store away to a big company that wants to move in, but they'll completely disregard the small businesses that are the future of Main Street in the 21st century.
Absolutely. Especially businesses that we too often, even when this is the other challenge, another one I say is that in many small towns, we're trying to reinvigorate our downtown. So we're trying to attract businesses that are commodity based.
Mm-hmm.
And we think, oh, we can't compete. I mean, I've got communities of 1,000 people that say, oh, we can't compete with a town of 10,000 down the road. And that community of 10,000 can't compete with the one 100,000, and the 100,000 one can't compete with the 1,000,000 one. And even when I go to the 1,000,000-person community, they say, oh, we can't compete against Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Except our economy is not all goods-based. It's not nearly as goods-based as it used to be.
Well, the other thing is, about
services.
The other thing is what Nesbitt told us 35, almost 40 years ago. He said, the more high-tech people have, humans have, the more high-touch we will want. It's called special sauce. And I remind people that Amazon will sell you 143 back scratchers. I counted them, but they can't scratch a single back.
Yeah.
So, hey, Doug, I need your website, please.
It's 13ways.ca.
All right, 13ways.ca.
13ways. Yeah.
Doug Griffiths, we'll come back. I'm going to ask Doug about millennials. Are they staying home? Will they come back? 20 after. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.